1-800-636-1067 is the number. Youngest in charge, and Noah Willingham rocking out with you as we take you up to 10 o'clock. Got a lot more to get into. Our pal Chris Russell, the Rooster, going to join us coming up here a little bit later on in the 8 o'clock hour. If he's not nice, we'll make him wait till the 9 o'clock hour. Depends on how he treats us here throughout the remainder of the night. I promised you I'd keep you up to speed with the latest on the NBA playoffs. Let's do that. First half of our Game 2 doubleheader. It's got about 4:20 and counting left to go in the opening half. Pistons and Cavs from Detroit. Pistons, one seed in the Eastern Conference, up 43-34 over the Cleveland Cavaliers. The high point man tonight for Detroit is is Donis Jenkins off the bench. He's 4-for-8 from the field. Is knocked down to 3. Caris LeVert's got 2 triples off the bench as well. Balanced scoring effort tonight is what I would say from Detroit here in this first half. And we continue to be on James Harden watch. He once again, guys, has more turnovers than field goals made. Currently, he's got 4 turnovers. He's 1-for-8 from the field to start tonight. Nasty, nasty work. As we sit here on May the 7th, what is the more pressing need for the 26 Washington Commanders? Kenny Moore, veteran safety and nickelback from the Colts, was cut. Should Washington be in on him, first and foremost? And then two, what's the bigger need right now for the Commanders? Is it wide receiver or is it corner? Let's go to our guy Jaime in Manassas, who wants to chime in. What's going on?
Hey, what's going on? No time, brother.
What's going on, man? Yes, sir. Everything is good, man.
Hey, I think it's going to be a wide receiver. We need another playmaker that we can count. Burks, I know he showed flashes. He was highly rated when he came out of college. But he hasn't proved it in the NFL yet. He has been injured and all of that. We don't know if he could be the second receiver that we need. But when it comes to cornerbacks, I think we spend money and we spend draft capital on putting pressure on the quarterback. So I think that's going to alleviate a little bit the work that the corners have to do. They're going to have a little more time. They don't have to cover that much of a time. We're going to put some pressure on the quarterback. We're going to put them in uncomfortable situations, and they can have some picks. And all of that. So I think even though we need another player in the secondary, another corner, I would say another starter. But we need a wide receiver. That's what we need. We need another guy that we can count on, that we can have Jaden Daniels, have playmakers all over, and we can score a lot of points. I'm excited about the draft lottery, NBA draft lottery.
I can't wait, bro. Hey, you got to check us out, man. Myself and Ben Strober right here on the Fan, breaking it down for you.
Course.
I know you're a big Wizards guy.
We're going to win the lottery, brother. We're going to have the number one overall pick.
Jaime, if we win the lottery, I'm going to just warn you, don't go on social media. I may get on social media butterball naked if they end up with the number one pick, man. I'm going to be so excited, man. It's been a while since we've really had reason to get behind the Wizards as a town. You know, I've been talking about them all throughout the course of the tank job. But
we
now
need a superstar, brother.
Yes, we do, man. Hi, man. I appreciate you as always, man. Thanks for chiming in. 1-800-636-1067. Oh, gosh. We can't steer to this is how you know the excitement about the old Wizards is real, baby. This is how you know the excitement is real. I can't even go an hour on the Commanders without someone wanting to talk Wizards. The excitement, so to speak, with that group is back. And I'm geeked up for it. I'll answer the question that I'm posing to you all on the phones at 1-800-636-1067. What is the more pressing need right now for the Washington Commanders? Is it corner or is it wide receiver? We put both of the rooms under the microscope. And I'll be real here. If Washington doesn't do anything else at either position before the start of the regular season, I think it should tell you a lot about the confidence they have internally. That's the one piece of this that sometimes I think we forget. We only get to see the games. These guys get to see them in the meeting rooms. These guys get to see their practice habits. These guys get to see how much they take care of their body. I'm eager to see Jalen Lane and Luke McCaffrey, dog. And I know some of y'all have already written them off. I called Luke a bust last year before he turned into an all-pro kick returner. I'm excited to see those two. Because here's the thing about Jalen Lane. The drops were a problem, but knowing the work ethic of that guy, he's going to be on the bags. He's probably been on the bags all summer. I expect him to come back and have a bounce-back sophomore campaign. I just fully expect it. There's way more pressure, though, and I think we all can agree. There's way, way more pressure on Luke compared to Jalen Lane. And here's the thing about Luke McCaffrey. I don't think anyone's ever questioned his work ethic. I don't think anyone's ever questioned whether or not he belongs in the NFL. I just don't know if he's a starting wide receiver. If you have your top guys go down and then you have Luke McCaffrey off the bench, sign me up. That's the role right now, at least, that I think he's best suited for. If you're having to rely on him as one of your starting three wideouts, you know, maybe you can stand to be a little bit better at that position. But I'm excited about Luke and Jalen Lane here in year number two. I genuinely am. Now, I'm not saying my expectations are super high. I'm just eager to see what they look like. Because Washington, they were pretty aggressive this offseason in going out and trying to attack wideout. They were in on Romeo Doubs. They were in on Alec Pierce. And those two dudes got big bags. So they clearly understand that they need to improve the supporting cast around Jaden Daniels. But what I want to put to bed, is this. There's this narrative out there. That, oh, Washington has not done enough around Jaden Daniels. I see all the national pundits talking about it. It makes me roll the hell out of my eyes. Have y'all not watched the offseason? Insert Chigakonkwo. Insert Rashad White. Insert Adafe Owe. Insert Tim Settle. Insert Sonny Styles. Leo Chenal. Kalavon Chaisson. They added dudes. Charles Amenihu. They added dudes. Nick Cross. They added dudes to this defense, which was horrendous. I got a little stat for you all. And I'm big on the numbers, right? I'm glad to get you smarter here on OT. Washington in the splits, when they give up 24 and when they don't give up 24 throughout the course of Jaden Daniels' career, is staggering. So I get it. The priority, 110%, should have been on the defense. And they did that. So I don't know how anybody can get upset about what they haven't done offensively. These numbers via the NFL researcher. Insane stat. You give Jaden an adequate defense, he wins you games. When Washington has scored 24 or fewer points, when Washington has allowed 24 or fewer points in Jaden Daniels' career, they're 12-0. I'm going to repeat that for you. Throughout Jaden Daniels' Commanders' tenure, when they've allowed 24 or fewer points, the Commanders are 12-0. When they've allowed more than 24 points, they're 2-10. So a stark contrast from when they, you know, play defense and when they don't. Stark contrast. So when you talk about improving and helping him out, when you talk about helping him out, what do you mean in terms of Jaden Daniels? It's more than just offensive weapons. And I think they have added some good offensive weapons. I really do feel that way. Chigakonkwo is going to shock some people, man. Honestly, Chigakonkwo is going to shock some people. The other piece is this. I don't know how many of you all have been keeping up to speed with the undrafted free agent list that Washington's got, but Jaden Bradley brought in from UNLV. I'm pretty interested in that guy, man. That's a guy to me that's very, very interesting in terms of the physical profile. DeMathie kid, local guy. I'm rooting for this dude. 6'4", 200 pounds, Maybe he's the guy that comes in and gives Washington what they need on the outside. Don't count the brother out is all I'm saying. Right? That's all I'm saying. Don't count him out. You'd be a crazy man to do so. Why am I shouting him out so much? Because he's from the DMV. I got to show love when it's time to show love. He's fascinating to me, though, man, because simply because of the size. Simply because of the size. The other dude that I'm really fascinated by when it comes to the cornerback spot, since we're talking wide receivers and corners right now, Fred Davis is second out of Northwestern. Boy, I know a lot of folks out there that had draftable grades on Fred Davis. There were a lot of folks out there that had draftable grades on Fred Davis, and for good reason. Kids from Jacksonville, Florida. I don't know if y'all hip to what goes on out in Florida, what's in that water out there. But year in and year out, they produce dogs. They produce dogs. Started his career at Clemson. Highly touted recruit. Was at Clemson for, three seasons? Started four games in his final season at Clemson. Went to UCF in 2023, redshirted that year. Then went to Jacksonville State in 24, 9 starts. And then last year, goes back to playing major D1 ball at Northwestern. 11 starts, 32 tackles, 6 pass breakups. I just like the measurables on him, man. I like the measurables on him. And I like the fact that, he's had to take the road less traveled, so to speak. It wasn't all cake and ice cream for Fred Davis. He's had to go through something. And I know how I feel about folks that have been through adversity. I like to wrap my arms around those type of people. Because I'm telling you, if I wasn't so scared of the damn tattoo needle, I'd tattoo this on my damn forehead. Do not let your circumstances dictate your work ethic. And I think with Fred Davis, you can tell that that has been the case. 1-800-636-1067 is the number. A lot more to get to, including Chris Russell joining the program coming up a little bit later on. We're going to keep things on the National Football League, but we'll pivot. We'll go from the Commanders to the Pittsburgh Steelers. Aaron Rodgers back in Pittsburgh. How good can the Steelers be in 2026? We'll chew on that next. one 800 636 1067 is the number. We'll have a guest stop by in about 20 minutes about Chris Russell, who hosts the Chris Russell Show weekdays 1-4 over on our sister station, the Team 980. He's going to pop on to the program. We'll talk all things burgundy and gold with him. Maybe we'll sneak in a little bit of Washington Nationals talk as well when our guy Chris Russell joins us coming up in about 20 minutes. I wanted to put a bookmark in the Commanders conversation here for a second, because there was some other pretty seismic news in the National Football League earlier this afternoon, and it was Aaron Rodgers in Pittsburgh. Rodgers expected to visit the Steelers this weekend and is likely to play for them this season. That according to ESPN's Ian Rappaport. There is no agreement between the Steelers and Rodgers at this current juncture, but the Steelers are holding their rookie minicamp this weekend, beginning tomorrow, and their president, Art Rooney II, told the NFL Network last week that he, quote, remained confident that Rodgers would be the team's quarterback in 26 and believed that the uncertainty would wrap up soon. Listen, here's the thing. The Steelers this offseason, I want to start with the positive. The Steelers this offseason, I think, have done as good a job as anybody creating an infrastructure for a quarterback to succeed. When you think about bringing in Rico Dowdle, when you think about bringing in Michael Pittman, when you think about drafting Jeremy Bernard, drafting Maxi Anachor, they've added to this group, signing Jamel Dean, Jaquan Brisker being brought in. Like, the Steelers are going to be interesting, man, in 2026. They, on paper, have a pretty damn good team. Their issue last year, in my opinion, their biggest issue was I thought the supporting cast around the quarterback wasn't strong enough, right? Aaron Rodgers, you know, from a number standpoint, wasn't horrible, right? But I don't think he looked like a guy that could win games for you anymore. You give him the receiver trio of DK, Mike Pittman, Jeremy Bernard, Pat Freiermuth. It's going to be an interesting group, man. You still got Jaylen Warren. You brought in Rico Dowdle. I'm intrigued by what the Steelers can be. They're playing in a division, talking about the AFC North, that I think is the most wide open. Right? Like, it's a division that's wide the hell open. The Bengals have retooled their defense. The Ravens adding Trey Hendrickson. The Browns knocking the draft out of the park. It just is what it is, right? When it comes to Pittsburgh, though, everybody in that division is lacking something, right? Like, the Bengals, great offense, but defensively feels like, you know, less than to be desired. Baltimore, offense we know is electric with Lamar Jackson. Defense, some major question marks. Cleveland, defense is a top five, top 10 group offensively. Who's under center? You pick up what I'm putting down? As far as the Steelers go, they feel like the team that is, you know, the biggest sure thing in terms of offense and defense. They got it going on. I love their defense. And now with Aaron Rodgers back in the fold, I'm not going to say I love their offense, but I like the skill group. I don't agree with bringing Aaron Rodgers back. They're doing something that I would have been totally against. At some point, you got to rip off the Band-Aid if you're Art Rooney, Omar Khan, and now new head coach Mike McCarthy. Rip the damn Band-Aid off, bro. At what point are you going to try and find a long-term answer at the game's most important position? It feels like right now, for lack of a better phrase, the Pittsburgh Steelers are dating just to get laid. When are the Steelers going to date to marry at the quarterback position? When are the Steelers going to put a guy under center that they believe they can build with, that they believe that they can grow with? You know what I'm saying? And until that happens, it's going to be this dark cloud, in my opinion, cast over the Pittsburgh organization. But I'm not going to sit here and act like Aaron Rodgers was hot garbage last year. Like, that would be... that'd be overstating it. Rodgers was serviceable a season ago. He was. Completed 66% of his passes, 24 touchdowns, and 7 picks. He was serviceable last year. He was. And when you consider the lack of weaponry around him, I would expect, and gosh, I can't believe I'm saying this, I would expect him to be better next year. I would. Just because of who's around him. I would expect him to be better. But the thing that I can't stomach, the thing that I can't stomach is, like, at what point is Pittsburgh going to do what I said? Date to marry. Not just dating for the hell of it. You drafted Drew Aller in the third round. Internally, y'all are high on Will Howard. Two youngsters that, based off of the supporting cast you've provided, should have been able to get properly evaluated this year. Instead, you wasting your time with Aaron Rodgers. And a lot of you all out there can relate to this, right? Sometimes it's we believe in dependency. Whether it's with our significant other or what. Everybody's got it. They're dependent on Rodgers. They're scared of life without Aaron Rodgers. And the bottom line is you had to rip the Band-Aid off at some point, man. Aaron Rodgers ain't going to play forever. Just is what it is. I'll say this, though, about Pittsburgh. If they can figure out quarterback, if they can get quality quarterback play, they're going to be in the mix in that AFC North. Just looking at the AFC period, Doesn't it feel like it's way more parity in this division than we've seen in a long time, or this conference, rather, than we've seen in a long time? Denver's a legit contender. KC is a legit contender. Jacksonville proved they a contender. They won 13 games last year. Houston, a legit contender. Baltimore, a legit contender. Cincy, with their revamped defense, going to be a legit contender. It's going to be fascinating, man. Steve is in Virginia wanting to check in. Steve, what's going on, brother? What you got?
What's up, man? How you doing?
I'm doing good, doing good.
I was just going to say, I don't completely agree with you about the Aaron Rodgers thing. I think bringing him back at least gives them a chance to win. How many times do a team tank or not do good and then go to the draft and doesn't get a QB at all? I feel like Aaron Rodgers at least gives them a shot to make the playoffs.
But we're talking about the Pittsburgh Steelers, Steve. They've got six Lombardis. Brother, this is my thing. They've got six Lombardis. Don't act as if making the playoffs is good enough. Like, that's not the – because you made the playoffs last year, and then what happened? You got your face kicked in during wild card weekend. If
so what are you recommending? That they just
go with
a nobody?
To me, I wouldn't phrase it like that, Steve. I hear what you're saying, though, but I wouldn't phrase it like that. I think it would be organizational malpractice, in my opinion, for the Steelers to leave the 2026 season without having a concrete answer on what Will Howard is, on what Drew Aller is. And I'm more talking about Will Howard because he's a guy that was in their building last year and got to learn from Aaron Rodgers. And according to their head coach, Mike McCarthy, yeah, he was a sixth-round pick, but a guy that had first-round talent. So you got to put your money where your mouth is, in my opinion. Rodgers is
going nowhere
fast. Yeah, and
I'm also interested to see how Aaron does with Mike McCarthy as well.
I am too.
How that relationship turns out.
I am too, because look, I think people, you know, a lot of people out there, Steve, people have let their personal opinions about Aaron Rodgers, the person, influence how they evaluate him as a quarterback. He wasn't half bad last year. He wasn't. You improve the supporting cast, maybe, just maybe, they are a little bit better in 26. Steve, I appreciate you as always, brother. 1-800-636-1067 is the number. Let's do this. If you got any more calls on the Steelers, we'll take them. Let's check back in on the NBA postseason coming up next. It's about to get crazy in here coming up in about 10 minutes or so. Chris Russell, that caged animal, the rooster, going to lock into the program with us. Youngest and Charles and O. Willingham taking you up to 10 o'clock tonight here on a Thursday night edition of OT. Programming note for you, I'm back with you coming up on Sunday. You'll get a double dose of the Youngest and Charles on Sunday. 8 to 9 a.m. here on The Fan. You'll hear me with Sunday Morning Sports on Westwood One Sports. And then I'll take a little time out. You get some local programming. And then after the Nats wrap up on Sunday, it'll be myself and Ben Strober bringing you coverage of the 2026 NBA draft lottery, where the Wizards have the worst record and, you know, top odds, top percentage chances at the number one overall pick. Will they actually land the number one overall pick? That is the question. That is the question. I told you I'd keep you up to speed on the playoffs. And Cleveland, I don't respect the Cavaliers. Can I just get that out there in the ether? I do not respect the Cleveland Cavaliers. If you listen to my national show, you know I have really gone off the deep end when it comes to James Harden. I have been a huge James Harden stan throughout the course of his career because I think he's one of the most disrespected players we've ever seen in terms of, like, people not wanting to give him credit for the impact that he's had on the game from a scoring standpoint. But the bottom line is what we've seen from him in the postseason over the course of his career, it just isn't good enough. It just isn't good enough. Tonight, we're once again seeing him kind of struggle. 2 of 11 from the field, 1 assist, 3 turnovers. I think it's mental now for James at this point. I do. Because the brother can score. James Harden, for lack of a better term, James Harden is him, man. James Harden gets to the Baja. James Harden can score at all three levels. But for whatever reason, whenever the lights get super bright in the playoffs, you don't get the same version of James Harden. And at some point, like I said, there's a level of credibility that you want to have when you do this job. And if I continue to sit up here and stand and simp for James Harden, I lose my credibility because the eye test is telling you, hey, Slim, he's not that guy anymore. And it's hard for a diehard James Harden fan like me to come to grips with that. This version of James Harden, I remember at the trade deadline when L.A. and Cleveland made the move to send Darius Garland to La La Land, and then it would bring back James Harden to Cleveland. And I thought, damn, the backcourt of Donnie Mitch and James Harden, oof, like that's a group that I could get behind. That's a group that can make some noise within a landscape of the Eastern Conference. 110%. But what we've seen here in the playoffs, and here's where I knew things were going awry. Here's where I knew things were a little bit off with the Cavs. There's no disrespect to our friends north of the border. No disrespect at all to our friends north of the border. The Cavs had no business going 7 games with the damn Toronto Raptors and Scotty Barnes' funny-looking ass. They had no business going 7 games in that series. I knew at that point that, you know what, despite me, you know, not being super high on Detroit, Cleveland's going to get their ass whipped. I expect this to be a clean sweep. I expect Detroit to sweep the Cleveland Cavaliers. And I say it all the time about the NBA postseason relative to other postseasons out there in the world. When you fail to meet expectations in the NBA's second season, there are normally sweeping consequences that come as a result of that. And for the Cleveland Cavaliers, let's make no mistake about it, right? The Eastern Conference semis was never the goal. This is a group that should have championship aspirations. This is a group that should be looking to be the last man standing. And right now, they're in a world of hurt. The game is still relatively close. Maybe we'll see Detroit pull away. But it's 62-54. With 7:10 left to go in the third quarter. Donovan Mitchell leads all scorers on the night. He's got 17. On the flip side for Detroit, balanced effort. Cade's got 9 points and 8 assists. Tobias Harris has got 11. Duncan Robinson's got 8. Asar's got 8. Dennis Jenkins with 11 off the bench. Caris LeVert with 8 off the bench. That's the tough part, man, about Detroit, young. They've got 4 dudes off the bench, 5 dudes if you consider, you know, Javonte Green, Ron Holland. Like, they rotation goes 8 to 10 dudes deep. And when you play that physical brand of basketball, that in-your-face brand of basketball that they play, right, you need guys to be fresh so you can continue to play with that same level of intensity, possession in, possession out. I'm impressed. I am. I think this Eastern Conference, though, as we saw last night, the East is the New York Knicks to lose. The Eastern Conference is the New York Knicks conference to lose. And I'll even take it a step further. Like, their owner, James Dolan, was on one of our affiliates out there, WFAN in New York. He was on with Craig Carton and Chris McMonagle. And he talked about the finals. He talked about the finals. He was on a call yesterday, and there was some business item or some tool called SGNA. Literally, the words SGNA, four-letter acronym, SGNA. And James Dolan on the call couldn't help himself but to make a joke about SGA, saying, hey, we'll make sure to crack the code to SGNA in the finals. Why do I say all that? If you're a Knicks fan out there, and if you're a Knicks fan in the DMV, God bless you. But if you're a Knicks fan out there, understand that, like, this isn't a hyperbole. This isn't me overstating things. It is quite literally NBA finals or bust for the Cleveland Cavaliers. Excuse me, for the Detroit Pistons. For the New York Knicks, rather. Wow. See, my brain just got scrambled. That's what happens when you starve yourself during the day, Nadine. Your brain gets scrambled. 1-800-636-1067. I accidentally scrambled my own brain there. Coming up next, I'm going to purposefully scramble my brain when Chris Russell joins the program. That's next. I know I promised you Chris Russell right here, but Chris Russell said, to hell with me, I'm not a big enough name to get him in the 8 o'clock hour. So we're going to save him for the final hour of Power. Chris Russell going to join us coming up in about 15 minutes. Got a couple of tweets rolling in here, and you can tweet at me if you want to keep the conversation rolling off air. It is at N-E-L-L underscore B-T-P. Our guy Navy Mo. What up, Navy Mo? Tweets at me and says, the Cleveland Cavs are as soft as infant beep, at least from what I've seen in this series. You're not wrong, my friend. Like, you're not wrong. And the thing that is tough to stomach here about Cleveland is in this industry, your favorite sports radio personality may lie to you. I'm going to tell it to you how a T.I. is here. It's one next to the phone. There's one next to the phone. I want to be right in this industry, man. I don't do this to be wrong. This is what's special about what we do. It's the only industry outside of being a weatherman where you can be dead ass wrong every single day, and that key card's gonna work. You can be dead wrong about your takes. You can be dead wrong with your opinions, but if you say it with enough conviction, if you say it with enough belief, it'll be A-okay. It'll be A-okay. The Cavs have let me down, and I'm personally, torn by their lack of success because this was my team. Nah, I'm going to tread lightly when I say that. Yeah, I know I'm a Wizards fan. But, when the Cavs made the move, as I said in the last seg, when they made the move to acquire James Harden, I thought this was going to be what unlocks this group. And it's crazy. As I'm trying to talk down on the Cavs, they're mounting a little comeback. All of a sudden, don't look now, ladies and gents. Cleveland trailing 69-66 with 3:31 left to go in the third quarter. Donovan Mitchell in his bag. 23 points on 9-16 shooting. 5 boards, 3 helpers, 2 steals. As he's really the only offense. He's the only offense that Cleveland has. This is why I look at my brother James Harden and go, hey, man. Where you at? W-Y. Everybody should be flooding James Harden's phone with all caps W-Y-A. Red iPhone exclamation mark. His lack of showing up for me, I'm starting to take it personal. I am. I'm listening to the tail end of Grant and Danny, and they talking trash on me about how I think all the OGs and all the old basketball players stink. I'm talking about Kareem and Larry Bird. They were playing against HVAC technicians and substitute teachers. Of course, I'm going to slight them a little bit. But they used all that to get back at me, saying I don't put any respect on the OGs. And y'all don't put any respect on us modern day, and the modern day athletes, not us. I'm not part of it, but you get what I'm saying. And I've had to go to bat for James Harden over and over and over and over and over again. You know what it feels like? It feels like being in a relationship with somebody and your parents know that the other person ain't worth a damn, but it's your job to continue to tell them, Mama, Daddy, I promise you, this is not the version of him that I get. And you go to bat for your significant other, and you go to bat for him, and you go to bat for him, and you go to bat for him. And then all of a sudden, you come home and they've set your living room on fire. They got your baby hanging from the ceiling. At that point, you can't justify your belief in them at that point. That's how I feel with James Harden. I've had it up to here. James Harden's playing so damn bad. Let me not say never. I think I've told the story on the air. Y'all know when I was in Bethany College out in Bethany, West Virginia, I was wilding out. I one time had 3 cigarettes in my mouth at one time. So I was going to say, James Harden's going to drive me to start smoking. But I have smoked a cigarette before. But y'all pick up what I'm putting down. He drives you to drink. He's got more turnovers tonight. Again, more turnovers than made field goals. Three turnovers for James Harden, two field goal attempts, leaving Donovan Mitchell sky high. It's like going on a two-man, and your wingman is sloppy drunk and can't entertain the other person. That's how this feels. And despite James Harden being a total no-show, Cleveland only trails by four. Cleveland's only down four. We're going to keep you up to speed with the rest of this one as we roll throughout. 2:13 left to go in regulation. Pistons up 72-68. My thoughts on the Eastern Conference, this is why I pay attention to this series, but I called it after game one. After what Detroit did to Cleveland again, when I said, yeah, this is a wrap. I don't have a lot of respect for the Eastern Conference. I think the Eastern Conference is a battle for second place. What do I mean by that? Whoever is unlucky enough to come out of the East, they're not going to beat a San Antonio in a seven-game series. They're not going to beat a OKC in a seven-game series. If Edwards and the T-Wolves advance, they're not going to beat the T-Wolves potentially in a seven-game series. They're just not. They're just not. That's why I say the Eastern Conference playoffs is a battle for second place. And I'm in a group message with my cousin and my brother, and they're talking trash on me right now. they're talking trash on me because I keep flip-flopping on James Harden. And it's like I'm in a toxic relationship with James Harden, dog. He don't show up sometimes. I don't show up sometimes. We argue. We fuss. We fight. But at the end of the day, like, y'all know I really rock with James Harden. If this continues tonight, if I look up at the box score, it's 8:52. We're taking you up to 10 o'clock. If I look up at the box score, even after we get off the horn with Chris Russell, if I look up at that damn box score and he still has more turnovers than made field goals, we don't have a problem. There's going to be some furniture moving here at 10:15 Half Street. I'm hurt. I honestly feel like, because I know how I get. For whatever reason, I was just born this way. I like to zig when y'all zag. Look at me peeling the onion back. I like to zig when y'all zag. And everybody hates James Harden. Everybody thinks he's overrated. Everybody thinks he's, you know, not worth it. I do. See, the problem is, I think, and I'm being real when I say this, so don't take me as a joke. Don't take me as a joke. I need to know what's going on with James Harden off the court. Because we know bro likes to party. Bro puts it on. Bro's at the club. Bro's a bottle popper. James Harden likes to have a good time. For him to be struggling like this, and fellas out there, y'all can relate. Y'all know y'all can relate. For James Harden to be struggling like this, he must be into it with his old lady. That's the only thing I can think about. Something's got to be going on to where his decorum is out the window. He's stressing. His beard don't look maintained. It looks dry and dandruffy. At the podium the other night, he didn't even have on his usual post-game drip. He came calm, something like a sweater vest or something. Where's the James Harden I know that pops it on a routine basis, whether anyone's asking for it or not? I need that version of James Harden. I feel like Vince McMahon back in the day. I need the old Stone Cold. That's how I feel about James Harden. Give me the James Harden that I grew to know and love. Give me the James Harden that'll bip, bip, bip and get to whatever spot on the floor he wants to. Give me that version of James Harden. Because what we're seeing right now, ship his ass back to L.A. with all this. You're in Cleveland, bro. I went to school at Bethany College, about an hour and a half, 2 hours away from Cleveland. Let me not gas it. Cleveland was like 3 or 4 hours away. But I had a couple of folks that I went to college with that were from the land. They don't even call it Cleveland. If you're from Cleveland, you call it the land. There's some savages, stone cold killers from Cleveland. I mean that in a metaphoric way and in a real way as well. Cleveland's got some tough asses. James Harden and the way that he's played here throughout this postseason, it doesn't fit. It doesn't fit the machismo and the macho and the swagger that, you know, the residents of Cleveland got. As I keep talking down on them, the score continues and that lead continues to get smaller. 72-71 Pistons with 1:44 left to go in the third quarter. If I don't do nothing else, I promise you, I'm going to keep you up to speed with the rest of Cavs and Pistons as we roll throughout the final hour of the program. Final hour of power comes your way next. And I think he's ready for us. He's, you know, he's got out of the cage. He's properly groomed. He's combed. We fed him. The rooster, the cockadoodle maestro, Chris Russell, joins us next.